I am DK, and here with me is Sam.
Oh, I love Rent Osaka. If I can get a shirt that says that, I will wear that. Oh, so what about you?
This is a popular friend. We haven't scared you off by now. I promise the next episode we will not talk about.
What is an anime without fan service, right?
From weak and disrespected to insanely powerful.
The story pulls no punches.
And he gets sent pretty much down to the pits of hell.
I actually based a character in my light novel off of her.
I can't wait to read the comic though.
I love action anime. That's all me right there.
Yeah,
kind of a Filipino.
You're cut.
That sucks. There's like a bunch of isekais out there.
The adventure here is, it gets even bigger. The enemies are stronger. Hey everyone, welcome back to Otaku and Friends. I'm DK, here with my co-host Song, and today we're diving into anime moments that gave us chills or made us cry.
Yep, the moments that remind us why we love anime.
So let's dive in, start us off, Song.
For me, these moments left a mark because of the emotions that they brought out or how they changed the story forever. My first one is Naruto versus Sasuke at the Valley of the End.
Song, what made this fight so memorable for you? Was it the stakes or the emotional weight between the two characters?
For me, it was definitely the emotional weight between the two characters, because you have Naruto and Sasuke, who didn't really get along at first, but then they became friends, and it was kind of weird because, like, they didn't really show it, but Sasuke did care about Naruto. Even though they had a rivalry, they really did care about each other. And then this last fight really kind of set the tone for what the whole season was about, or for the whole Naruto.
Wow.
Yeah, I know.
I know you're a big Naruto fan, so you do like your shonen.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So you know, it hit me in the emotional part for real. And as growing up as a kid and watching that was pretty good. So what about you, DK? So, next one. So, DK, the scene is a life changer. How did it hook you onto your next one? And I know which one it is. Go ahead.
Okay. One of my favorite scenes is Attack on Titan. Towards the beginning, everybody, it's when the Colossal Titan attacks. So you're mentioning, like, yeah, scene is a life changer. And that's what got me hooked from the beginning. I'm sure a lot of other fans, same way. Because, okay, what's going on here, right? Where is this literally colossal event that's supposed to happen to the Attack on Titan? And
yeah.
And what's great about this is as the story moves along and you get more background into it, Eren sees his mom get killed by one of the Titans. You find out who the Colossal Titan is. It's all a set. And especially the Titan that kills his mom. I don't want to give any spoilers, even though we've all seen it. But in case if you're one of the few, you got to obviously check it out. And it just sets the tone and boom.
I haven't seen it, but I've heard people talk about it. And I know that it's very crazy.
Okay, so you're one of the few there. Okay.
Yeah, I'm one of the few. That's why I covered my ears there.
Okay. I'll wait until after the episode and run it for
you. All right. Thank you so much.
But so move on to our next favorite Yuji and Shana's kiss from Shokugan no Shana. So, Sam, how did this moment affect your view of the series as a whole?
Wow. I mean, I was hoping that would happen, but I remember watching this whole thing and I'm just like, oh God, like it's just gone off the rails. And finally at this final moment where Yuji and Shana finally kissed, because throughout the entire time, they did have feelings for each other. It's just the way Yuji kind of went about it. He was just kind of like, no, I have to do this. And then you realize what he's doing, you know, in terms of like with the denizens and trying to create a world for the called Xanadu, that he was doing this all for Shana, really. And then it just affected my whole view on the whole series. Like, oh, this thing is all about love, which is crazy, you know? Yeah, pretty good. So that was mine. So your next one, DK, was Vegeta's final atonement. So DK, Vegeta's sacrifice is so emotional for fans. What makes this moment your favorite?
Yeah, so Dragon Ball Z, we're going back a ways there. This one, reason why it's one of my favorites is this was a turning point for Vegeta. He's still a selfish person, but leading up to this moment is before his final atonement, where he blows himself up, is he purposely falls under Babidi's mind control to gain power. He just wanted to be more powerful and show up, you know, Kakarot, and becomes Majin. Vegeta.
Majin Vegeta.
His ego was so strong about that. Bobby couldn't control him. So that was like one thing where it's, oh, actually, this is a good thing. And and then even though he knew that he still couldn't beat Majin Buu after that, he tells Trunks to take care of his mother, and Piccolo takes Trunk and Goten away. And then there's the inner monologue, that dialogue going with Vegeta. And he does what any Super Saiyan would do, is go in and blows himself up. At the end, we all know that. It's a spoiler, but this came out in the 90s, people.
Yeah, so. People has got to seen that by now, right?
Yeah, so.
They're not true otakus, right?
Anyway, so that's, again, one of my favorite anime moments there. But again, huge turning point for Vegeta, and also in the series there about how serious Majin Buu is.
So, yes.
But typical of Dragon Ball, that's always going to be the next strongest fighter, one or the other. Moving along, Sam, your next favorite anime moment. Hanad, Ushio, and Sam, the scene hits hard emotionally with Ushio dying in Tomoya's arms. Do you think that this is one of the saddest moments in anime history?
Oh my God, yes. Oh man, I'm just, for the viewers, yes, you can say what you want. I cried in this one, okay? I actually cried because it was so emotional. It was so sad. Yeah, I was crybaby Sam, yes. But it was definitely one of the saddest moments in anime history. Just, you know, after, Tomoya losing, you know, his wife, and then like now him losing his daughter, it was just really, really sad watching her just fall like that and succumbing to her illness. And, you know, for me, I have a daughter myself, and man, just watching it again really hit home. There is a happy ending in this though. So, but I'm not going to, I mean, this is an old one. So if you guys haven't seen this, what are you doing? Everybody knows Clannad, right?
It's not as old as Dragon Ball Z, but no, it is a good series, everybody. So please check it out.
Yeah, absolutely. So, DK, I know your next one was a pretty good one too. All Might versus All For One, My Hero Academia. So, DK, how did All Might's final fight impact your appreciation for My Hero Academia and its themes for its heroism?
I'll be honest, this was the peak or the climax for me in My Hero Academia. I know there's a lot more story that goes on with the manga, with the anime series as well. This is the turning point right here, is All Might, his power's exhausted, no more one for all since Midoriya has it. And what really hit home for me, why this is one of my favorite scenes, as well as for the series itself, is you see the heroes coming together towards the end of the battle there. Yeah. Endeavor and the gang come by supporting All Might, even Endeavor like saying like, yeah, take him out. The public cheering on when they see All Might's true form. He looks different. He's still All Might. The crowd, everybody, even Midoriya is going to do it. And he used up everything. He is really the epitome self-sacrifice here.
Oh, man. So yeah, epic.
So All Might definitely embodies the theme of self-sacrifice and sets the tone for the rest of the heroes to follow his example. More so is everybody knows this. The rest of the heroes know this. Now that All Might even Endeavor's, okay, now I got to step. It's a moment that he've always wanted, but now he's like, these are some pretty big shoes to fill. And then we see later on in the series when All For One escapes, but there's no All Might now. And it purposely happened that way to go ahead and build the story.
Exactly.
If All Might was always around. Oh, yeah. One of my favorite anime scenes, especially the lines with All Might. And
that was truly epic. Yes.
Now it's your turn.
Oh.
Actually, it is your turn. So
it is my turn.
Some next favorite scene, Goku gets blown up and Namek. DBZ has so many epic moments. Why does this Goku moment stand out for you the most? So.
Oh, man. So this one stood out to me the most just because it was like my actual like first time. So Goku gets all built up. He gets Super Saiyan for the first time. He avenges Krillin and all of his other compadres that died. And he finally even tried to give Frieza a chance. And he ends up killing Frieza too. But man, I really thought this was it for Goku. When Namek blew up, I was like, he's gone. You can't save him because you have to have the Dragon Balls on that planet to revive him back. Well, if the planet's gone, you can't bring him back. You can't even use the Earth Dragon Balls to bring him back. So for me, I thought that was it. And as a little kid watching it, I was just like, no, Goku! it was definitely one of the most epic moments that I've ever seen. And just watching like all the other characters like Yamcha and all of them just like freaking out. They're like, oh no, if he dies, like this is it. There will be no more Goku, you know? So that's how I thought my mindset was when I saw all that. I was just like, oh no. Like, Goku's gone.
Everybody else out there, including myself, that was just one of handful of times that Goku things.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, because he dies a lot. And luckily, you know, it would be cool if we had Dragon Balls, right? Oh man. Yeah, that was a good one for me. So DK, the next one for you was Kojo Rengoku's demise when he fought Akaza right at that Mugen Train arc. DK, Rengoku's final moments left, you know, a huge impact on fans. How did this moment solidify Demon Slayer as like one of your favorite animes?
It was already one of my favorite animes before the Mugen Train arc. This here takes it to the next level. It just enriches, develops the story further, especially for shonen. I shouldn't say typical. So Rengoku here plays a key role in the whole series, the story, and how it starts taking flight. The Mugen Train arc, and with Rengoku's death, what it does for the series is that his death establishes a very real threat, whereas before the other Demon Slayers and everybody else, they all knew, felt like, oh yeah, death was a serious possibility,
yeah, but inevitable.
But none of the other Demon Slayers or the Hashira has died yet. To them, it wasn't real until with Rengoku gone. It's wow, like, let's just be honest, shit got real now.
Yeah.
And Rengoku, one of the most heroic ones, sense of duty. I don't want to go back to All Might, but it's very similar vibes to that.
Yes, I agree.
Yeah, he wasn't one of those asshole Hashira that was just with Tanjiro and everything and talking down to them. He was sense of duty. It's like, hey, let's just all do this together. Our enemies are the demons here. And to me, that's what makes it so memorable.
Oh, absolutely.
Using the word epic here. And from here on out, what Demon Slayer is, what's funny is that for me, is this has like a higher death count for main characters or good guys than
it definitely does.
So it just starts, the ball starts rolling here. And I think that Rengoku, that's how he plays a key role in this, is death actually has a huge meaning, more meaning than I believe if he would have defeated Akaza. His death had more meaning. It forces the rest of the Hashira to mature suddenly as they realize the extent of the dangers they face.
Yep, they're like, hey, shit just got real.
Exactly. But that, speaking of deaths and favorite moments, Sam, your next favorite moment is Cyberpunk Edgerunners, where David Martinez dies.
Oh, man.
Think of ones where there's all these characters dying.
I know, right? What is wrong with us?
Yeah. So, Sam, Cyberpunk isn't just about action. It's a tragedy, too. So how did David's death impact you?
Oh, my gosh. You know, watching Cyberpunk, you know, just giving it a shot, I was just like, wow, like, okay, so David really pretty much comes from like just a really tragic background. You know, his mom dies and, you know, he pretty much is just like on his own. And then he finds these people who are AKA edge runners and, you know, him going through the process of like, you know, with these, I guess you would call them criminals, you know, growing up with them and finally meeting Lucy, his love interest in this, he develops and he becomes a pretty powerful character. What sucks, I mean, this one was kind of just kind of like Demon Slayer. A lot of the characters cast, you know, kind of rolls off one at a time. And I feel like, you know, at the end where David does as much as he can to take down like the evil organization, and he ends up getting killed by like the most powerful android in Cyberpunk, that one was just like, dude, like, no, because the personal development between him and Lucy was shown throughout the entire season. They even promised each other that he was going to take her to the moon or going to go together and stuff like that. So when he died and right at the end, Lucy made it to the moon, but she was by herself. I was just like, oh, no. I felt so bad. It was just one of those tear-jerking animes. It was an ending that I was not expecting, and it was extremely sad. And I really hope they do find a way to bring David back and have like a season 2 for it. But oh my goodness, that one, when I saw that, after David just putting up as best of a fight as he could against the android, he just dies. Just boom. So sad, man. So sad. All right. So DK, your next one is also Demon Slayer. It's Tengen and Tanjiro versus Gyutiro, the upper moon. So DK, this battle was a masterpiece and I agree with it. Of the animation and storytelling, like, how did it keep you on edge of your seat? Because I know it kept me on edge of my seat for sure.
I'm not sure if you ever read the manga. You know, fight scene's pretty epic there as well. And studio's like, you know what? We're just going to go over budget. We're just going to go ahead and give it the time, the animation, the effects it deserves. And so the fight's obviously, it's intense and brutal nature, showcasing the combined skills of both Tengen and Tanjiro. Tengen, the sound Hashira, and ninja, everything, speed. And yep. What makes this even more badass is, you know, before that final moment, as they're battling, Gyutaro poisons Tengen, right? His left arm and his forearm. And Tengen, like the badass he is, slices off, cuts off his left arm. He loses his eye too, in the, yep. his left eye costs with pinning down Gyotaro, and the fight just continues, right? So he's pretty much fighting one eye, one arm, and holding his own, and
holding his own Gyotaro against Gyotaro. Yeah.
And Tanjiro's able to come in and save the day with just beheading Gyotaro and Daki. Well, I gotta say, it's just the fight, both of them, the demon slayers here, Tanjiro, Tengen, up against a formidable Upper Moon demon. And then Tengen, he has to retire after that too, you know?
He does. Again, this yeah, he just retires.
The whole series, you know, that being shonen series, is that Tengen didn't end up dying. He's just out now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no more battle to train some of the other cadets, but that's it. So they lose another Hashira.
Yeah, just like that. Lost his eye and his arm.
And I think this is where Tanjiro and Gain really start seeing that we have to step up and get stronger, contribute more. Anyway, so that's our favorite anime scenes, our top five anime moments. Everybody, thanks for joining us as we talk it out about our favorites. We'd love to hear yours, so please leave your comments and feedback below. Also, visit us and become our friend at otakuandfriends.com.
And while you're at it, please subscribe and follow to our podcast to keep the conversation going. Also, subscribe and listen to Otaku and Friends podcast on YouTube or Spotify. And don't forget to follow us on Instagram.
Also, don't forget Otaku and Friends. We're all little Dakuba heart, so come be our friend.
Peace.